Hey friends, welcome to The Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. I am really glad you're here today. Whether you're commuting right now, grabbing a cup of coffee, or just taking a few moments to like center yourself before the day really kicks into gear, I think it is fantastic for us to have a rhythm where we pause. Like the reality is, you and I live in a world that thrives on anxiety and reaction, don't we? But for the next few minutes, we're going to step out of that rush into the story of Scripture, seeing how the earliest followers of Jesus navigated a world that was just as hostile and confusing as ours can be. Today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. To set the scene a little bit, Peter and John have just been released from custody. They were arrested for healing a man and proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. They've been threatened by the most powerful religious and political leaders of their day and told to shut up about it. So, what do they do? Let's find out. First, let's read it in. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31. I'm going to read this from the ESV. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together, and God said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you appointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through your name of your holy servant, Jesus.' And when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness." There is so much happening in this moment. Peter and John return to their community, their fellow believers, and the report really isn't great. The message is clear. The established order, the people who hold the keys to power and influence, see the gospel as a threat. They've drawn a line in the sand. Now, for a moment, imagine being in that room. The natural human response here is self-preservation. It's fight or flight mechanism that kicks in. We usually want to retreat, to form a holy huddle, to find a way to make our faith private enough that it doesn't really bother our neighbors or the community around us. But look at their immediate reflex. They don't form a committee. They go to prayer. And notice how they pray. They don't start with their problem. They start with God's position. They call him sovereign Lord. The Greek word used there is actually the word despotes. It's where we get the word despot from. And it's used here. It means like an absolute ruler, the owner of everything. They're looking at Herod, looking at Pilate, looking at the Sanhedrin, these terrifying figures. And they're reminding themselves, these guys just our middle management, right? That God himself is the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea. He is actually the one in charge. And this is crucial for us. You see, when we feel the squeeze of our cultural moment or the powers that be or anxious about the future, we tend to pray for the removal of the struggle. We pray for safety. We pray for comfort. We ask God to smooth out the road so our drive is easy. And there's nothing wrong with asking for peace. But these believers realized that the gospel is a public truth. It's not just a private religious hobby. They understood that Jesus is the true king, and that changes how they live in the public square. So they don't pray, Lord, keep us safe, make bad people go away. They pray, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to speak your word with all boldness. It's a word in the original language that means the freedom of speech. It means candor. It means the courage to say what is true, even when it costs you something. They appealed to God's sovereignty, knowing that God was not surprised by the persecution. In fact, they quote Psalm 2 to remind themselves that the world's rage against God is nothing new. They recognized that even the cross, the worst thing the world could do to Jesus, was part of God's redemptive plan to heal the world. Because they trusted that God was writing the story, they didn't need to control the outcome. They just needed the courage to play their part. God answered that prayer instantly. He shook the room. It was a physical manifestation that the Spirit of God is heavier, weightier, and more real than the threats of the Sanhedrin. Let's shift gears a little bit and pray it up. I want to invite you to be honest with yourself and with God right now. Is there a situation in your life, maybe that is filling you with this low-grade fear or just kind of quiet anxiety that you regularly feel? Maybe it's a conversation you need to have at work or a stance you need to take in your family or just the general posture or general pressure of living out your faith in a really cynical environment. We often think that courage is the absence of fear. But these disciples were likely terrified. That's why they pray for boldness. They weren't afraid they wouldn't need to ask for it. Let's take a moment to lay that specific fear down. Now, instead of asking God to just remove the obstacle, I want you to try praying a dangerous prayer. Ask him for boldness. Ask him to help you to trust his sovereignty, that he is the creator and sustainer of your life. Maybe your prayer sounds something like this. Lord, you know the threats. You know my worry. I'm not asking for an easy way out. I'm asking for the Spirit's power to love well and speak truth right in the middle of this mess. God, we ask that you would shake the foundations of our own hearts, where we have built altars to our safety and reputation. Tear them down. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, not just so that we can feel good, but so that we can move out into this world as wounded healers, confident in your love and your power. Finally, let's talk about living this out. Theology is meant to be lived, not just analyzed and read about. The proof of the Spirit's filling in Acts wasn't just an emotional experience, it was an action. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Where in your life are you currently tempted to stay silent or passive? Where are you avoiding doing the very thing God is asking of you, whether that's serving a neighbor, speaking up for someone who's marginalized, or sharing the hope you have in Jesus because you're afraid of it being awkward or an inconvenient conversation? Here's the challenge for you today. Identify one area where fear has been making your decisions for you. And in that specific area, commit to taking one step of faith this week. Doesn't have to be a giant leap, just a step. Trust that the same Spirit who shook the room in Jerusalem is with you in the car, the office, or in your home this morning. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.